especially with Charmverse and with Purple and being so long in the ecosystem, you have really been involved in the funding aspect and grants of different projects in the ecosystem. So a lot of people find that as a very confusing topic, especially first-time founders. So what are some important things that you believe founders should take into account when applying for grants, or which grants to go for, what kind of funding opportunities they have in the ecosystem in the first place?
Yeah. So my first advice would be to try to build a business that doesn't require grants, and try to find product market fit and a market that can help support you. And then from that, maybe you need some help getting there, and that's where grants can help. And I'll just point out that Optimism or the Superchain has two different types of grants programs. One is retroactive funding. So you've done the work and then you apply for retroactive funding. Optimism does it in waves of topics. And so like the one coming up now is around Optimism governance. And so if you built software or otherwise have as a human contributed to Optimism governance, you can apply for a retro funding grant. The other is proactive grants. And the crypto ecosystem at large has tons of proactive grants. The Superchain has the Optimism Grants Council gives proactive grants. And so those are the two things I would look into. And then just to my earlier point of like trying not to build a business that requires grants, I do think there are pure public goods, like actual public goods projects that they are a good for everyone on chain, but they just fundamentally do not have a business model. Like an example might be creating one of the Ethereum clients. It's a hard thing to monetize, but super important. And those can be built from day one with grants in mind. And specifically for a lot of those, it can be retroactive funding grants where you plan on having a big impact. And then based on your impact, you want to be rewarded for that work.
And when you say like, also, which I completely agree, I think it's a very important thing, like having that sustainable business and building a business that does not necessarily require grants and funds, but like investor funds. What are some things that you believe are some mistakes that founders make when choosing their business model that might be stopping them from doing that? Because there's so many founders that the only path they see to growth is through grants, but we both know that that's in the long term, that's not the most sustainable way.
Yeah, and it's good to bootstrap now, like now here in 2024. Grants to bootstrap the ecosystem. Crypto is still very small. And so on one hand, we all have to grow and onboard people together. On the other hand, there's the reality that you have a pretty small market to address currently. So one idea is to not try to address the crypto market specifically. You can look at something like Polymarket and the success of Polymarket, something that really has gone. It's a mainstream consumer app that has crypto underneath it, but most of the users don't even know it. So I think in the long run, it's that. In the more immediate term, or probably people who are thinking about this stuff, I think one, a lot of people position their project as public goods because they don't want to do business and like business is dirty. But you see they have competitors who do charge and are making a business. So I think if you're going to go the public goods route, it really should be a public good. So that's number one. I think the other is, the retroactive funding is supposed to fill in the gap between how much money you make and how much value you've generated. And so, especially if you're early, you build a revenue generating business, it's not enough. Maybe it's not enough to cover your runway, but you're doing good work and you're onboarding new people to the chain and you have a bunch of monthly active users. And then you can use a retroactive grant to fund the gap between your profit and the impact you can have. And that is really the intention of that program. And then finally, I think some projects make the mistake of once they get a grant, start to rely on grants. And grants are not, it's not a sure thing. You do not have the right to a grant. You may give a grant one season and for the same project not get a grant the second season. And so for people who are building their businesses expecting the next grant to come, it can be really disappointing when that doesn't happen, or the category that your project is in does not qualify for the current grants. People find themselves in a lot of trouble because they were just already expecting the next 6 months to be paid for a grant that didn't win yet. And that can be pretty devastating and catastrophic to a project if that's how you're planning.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if the business completely relies on grants and the founders are fully committed. And now they have to pay their bills also with the grant. And it gets problematic. And there are a lot of founders like that. But when it comes to really applying for grants and businesses that, for example, are really public goods and that they are relying on grants, what are some suggestions that you have for them that they should look into before even considering or reaching out or applying to the grants in the first place?
Yeah, so one, there are lots of grants programs across the ecosystem. And so I think you survey all of those and see which ones are a good fit. Some are L2 level grants. There's a ton of L2 level grants across the superchain. Some are protocol specific grants. You know, Safe has a grants program, but if your project doesn't immigrate Safe, it doesn't make sense for you. So I think first you can look at all the grants that are available and kind of shortlist them to ones that might be applicable to you, and then decide like how can you give value to the chain, not just I mean, that's the key. I think the key to like creating your grant application is one, demonstrate your impact. And it's actually probably the thing people make the biggest mistake on, where people who have great impact are not good at selling themselves. And so don't really demonstrate their impact, or maybe just throw one Dune URL in there or GitHub link or something. But I really go through the extra efforts of describing your impact. And then if you're a brand new project, describing your potential impact and your plan for impact. And then, you know, for each chain, if you're going to apply for a Mode grant, you know, Mode being one of the L2s on the superchain, are you really a good fit for Mode? Are you really bringing them value? And, you know, think about it from their shoes. They want to grow their ecosystem. They want lots of projects and products and developers all kind of building on their L2. And so how are you helping to contribute to that?
Yeah, actually, but also like when it comes to the communication aspect of things, from at least from my experience, and I would love to hear what you think. A lot of founders seem to struggle to communicate what exactly are the main benefits they're providing. So when they apply for funds, what are like some 2 to 3 things that they should really pay attention to? And because I'm pretty sure that you have reviewed grants in the past and voted on grants, so what are some do's and some don'ts when applying grants to make the job, first of all, easier for the people that choose the grants and who gets the grants?
Yeah, I think I'll break this down into 2 types of grants too. There are some that value on-chain data or only care about on-chain data. And so I think in that case, you want to just be building a product that generates a lot of sequencer fees, has a lot of monthly active users, and onboards a lot of new people, onboards monthly active users into crypto. And so I know like when I'm looking at grants, I really value the projects that can onboard new people who become engaged regular users, become DAOs or MAOs. So I think that's a good place to focus with on-chain data. I think for off-chain data, it's a lot about like, talk about your team, show the work you've done in the past, describe why you are uniquely suited for this, demonstrate your expertise in the subject area that you're going to build. And then again, talk about your impact and what your goals are and what you truly hope to achieve. And in this era of ChatGPT, don't just take some generic ChatGPT thing. ChatGPT can be great, certainly use it to help you, but really think about what is your vision here. You know, another way to look at this is people put a lot more work into pitching VCs than they do into pitching grants. And part of it is like the dollar amount can be very different. But still, if you're trying to give $100,000 instead of $1 million, at least put in a tenth of the effort. And I think actually that's probably just another thing, is that there's just a lot of low effort grant applications. And so they're pretty easy to weed out. And so I would just recommend like just put in the effort, so that at least you get, you know, if you put in the effort, you're probably in top 20% to start. And then, yeah, just, I think there is a little bit, and like a lot of people who do apply for grants or are interested in open source or public goods almost have like a distaste for the VC model of things. And we see that every time we do retro funding. But there's something about pitching a VC where you're like really communicating that you're the expert and you're really communicating that you have a plan here and you're communicating that you like plan to do something big and have a meaningful impact. And so I think more people should treat their grant applications like a request for funding rather than a request for grant.
Yeah, which makes perfect sense. Like really doing things with excellence and showing it throughout everything and every process that is out there. When it comes to like going back to the previous topic, like really making a sustainable business that is not necessarily reliant on grants, what are some other potential, are there any other potential funding opportunities out there that founders can consider that are often not that popular in the first place?
Sure. So I think some of the popular ones, I mean, I can kind of go through the funding list here, which is, of course, there's VC and angel investment and everything that kind of gets bucketed into that sort of traditional venture financing. Then one step down are these incubators and accelerators. Orange DAO, A16Z has a great accelerator program. Alliance has a good one. I totally recommend those. If you're a founder and you have that startup mindset, you should apply for those. It's not just the funding. They all provide funding, but then just the advice and mentorship and the network they attach you to. So even if you're like, we started Germverse, the co-founder, Alex Poon, sold his last three companies, but still applied and got into Alliance. And so even though he maybe didn't need that founder level mentoring, just being connected to a network like that has been really valuable for us. And then we're coming down the stack, and then there's large grants programs. We just discussed two of them. You know, the Base has some funding programs, Zora has some funding programs. There's kind of the larger grants programs. And then you can go down to like just small grants. And a lot of this might be you just need 1 month. You're one developer and you need 1 month to prototype this thing, or 2 months or 3 months. And then you can look at small grants, which then go down to, there's a lot of stuff on Warpcast. There's a lot of DAOs that can do these kind of small grants. A lot of the ecosystems themselves will have like very small grants, like they'll call them something like scout grants or something like that, where just to have you commit to the ecosystem for the first time, there's some small grants funding. And then I'll just go, it's all grants, but in a different form. There's big grants in the form of things like Nouns DAO, if your project is Nounish or can support the Nouns community. There's EMS, all the protocols have grants, right? EMS has a grants program, like Uniswap cuts grants. So I think those are kind of the ways. And then, of course, you can tokenize. That's another way that people have raised funds. I'm not quite an expert on that right now, so I won't go deep in that, but that's another one. There's crowdfunding. If you need a small amount, something like Hypersub can help you crowdfund. Those are sort of the ways, you know. I think, you know, the word founder can be really serious. Like you're a founder, you're trying to build a unicorn, right? And you're probably at that point looking to enter through the accelerators, through angels, and then go the VC route. There's founders where, you know, maybe you're like, you just left your thing and you just need a couple of months to prototype some stuff and figure out what you're doing, you know? And so there's a whole range of this stuff. It's really, there's more in crypto than in Web2, I would say, because we do have things like crowdfunding and tokenomics and different tokens who have small grants and all of this stuff. So I think it's a huge range.
Yeah. But there's also like, based on what you just said, there's also a lot of opportunities that, like opportunities all around, like every founder, they just need to look for it and actually put in the effort to go and
that's really it. And then, of course, it bears mentioning that you can build a profitable day one business. And, of course, it's harder, easier said than done. But I would point to one example. There's a Forecaster client called Supercast, the solo founder. He's great at engineering. He's great at product. And from day one, he charged $20 a month for the product. It's sort of like... I think of Supercast as like a business version of Farcaster. And so I use it to schedule posts and to log into my company accounts. And it does a bunch of unique things there. And it's totally worth $20 a month for me. And so as I understand it, you know, he's been grinding for months. And now he's at a point where I think they're making some significant capital.
Yeah. And that's an amazing example that you just gave there. Because there are companies out there that are providing real value, and that value is being rewarded because it's a real need for a lot of people. So
yeah, absolutely.
Why wouldn't you, in the end, like a lot of founders like should really focus more maybe on that aspect of getting out of the mindset of sometimes you have to charge from the beginning.